This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day to celebrate. No, the world is not coming to an end. One of the things that I've told you many, many times is don't ever bet on the world coming to an end, because the chances are you're going to lose. You're going to be wrong. And if you win and the world really has ended, you won't be able to collect or enjoy your winning. It's a sucker's bet. Well, it turns out that the predicted end of the world in 2069, we're going to be fine. We are going to be escaping a collision that had been previously predicted by leading scientists. We will get to that story, to a new report in the Wall Street Journal that we are just about on the verge, the journal says, to finding intelligent extraterrestrial life. It's so close. Really? Not so sure. We will cover that story. There's also two truly inspiring and appropriate speeches by advocates for America and advocates for Asian Americans who have contributed so much to this country and in so many ways made exemplary progress since the days of evil racism, which are, thank God, particularly regarding Asian Americans, much in our rearview mirror. We'll play you some excerpts you need to hear, one of them from a federal judge who honestly ought to be on the Supreme Court next time somebody who is not already committed to appoint someone very, very far to the left, the next time that there is an opening on our court. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. But first, some troubling news. It's not entirely surprising. It's been developing for a while, but it's dramatic. A headline from the Gallup organization: U.S. church membership falls below majority for a first time. Now, one of the reasons that I think this is worth covering and discussing is because I think there are a lot of Americans who would be surprised that a pretty sizable majority of our fellow countrymen are members of a church or a synagogue or a mosque or some kind of house of worship. That always has been the sort of normal position for Americans. Gallup measured that church membership for the first time way back in 1937. They asked, are you a member of a church or synagogue? And in 1937, 73% of Americans said they were church members. Then in 2000, it had gone down a little bit, but was still, from 2000 on, for the first 10 years of the new century, it was right near 70%. And that doesn't mean that people attended every week, but it used to be, when I started writing about this, back in the 1990s, very reliably, all of the surveys, all of the studies, would show that about one half of all Americans went weekly to church or synagogue services. Well, that's all changed. The question is why? 1-800-955-1776. We spent a good deal of time. It's not because there are all these new scientific discoveries that disprove religion. The major scientific discoveries, certainly since the year 2000, have all actually helped to make a case for religion. and have even caused some materialists to rethink their assumptions. And yet, Gallup Organization reports, as many Americans celebrate Easter and Passover this week, Gallup updates a 2019 analysis that examined the decline in church membership over the past 20 years. And part of what they ask is not only are you a member of a church, but how often do you go? How important is religion to your life? Over the past two decades, the percentage of Americans who do not identify with any religion has grown from 8% in 1998 to 13% in 2010, now to 21% over the past 3 years. In other words, in just the years of this new century, just since the year 2000, the number of people who say, I don't identify with any religion, I don't consider myself Christian, I don't consider myself Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or anything, that's gone up by 300%, three times. Church membership is strongly correlated today with age. By the way, church membership, now 47% of adult Americans say they are members of a church. And again, that is way, way down. And if you look at the graph of opinion, it really starts sinking right around 2000. Why would that be in particular? And it's one of those things that Gallup can't really answer, but maybe you can. The church membership is strongly correlated with age. Of U.S. adults born before 1946, in other words, 75 or more, 66% belong to a church. Of baby boomers, 58%. Of millennials, 36%. What a difference! Could some of it have to do with people being connected through the internet, through social media, through all of these means of communication that we rely on so much, particularly during the pandemic, and that make the idea of attending church, going to a place where you take what's called communion. Communion means not just communicating with, linking with God, but linking with other people in your church fellowship. It's the same root, obviously, as community. This is all very, very dramatic and might be disturbing. By the way, among religious groups, the decline in membership is steepest among Catholics. It's down 18 points than for Protestants, but that's down 9 points. But every group, and they break this down, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, men, women, and for every imaginable group, the church membership is down, and it's down dramatically. It's down particularly strongly among women, down 20 points. The people who are not married, down 22 points. Democrats, down 25 points. Republicans, down 12 points. But all of this, it seems to me, goes beyond politics, though I think politics contributes to it. And I don't just mean conservative politics, because there are a bunch of religious institutions that are obnoxiously liberal and left-wing. If you're one of those people who is disaffiliated with or never affiliated with a church or a synagogue of any kind, you want to call and say why, 1-800-955-1776.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must-read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics, in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks, a sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis, and that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast. 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
On a special spiritual journey.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about this fairly shocking Gallup poll, I honestly never thought I would live to see this, where a majority of Americans now say they are not affiliated with any church or synagogue or religious institution. Gallup adds, the U.S. remains a religious nation, with more than 7 in 10 say they identify with some type of organized religion. However, far fewer, now less than half, have a formal membership with a specific house of worship. While it is possible that part of the decline seen in 2020 was temporary and related to the coronavirus pandemic, continued decline in future decades seems inevitable, given the much lower levels of religiosity and church membership among younger versus older generations of adults. Remember, among millennials, people in their 30s, say, only 36%. Only 36% say that they are church members. Why? Let's go to Ed in Samish Island, Washington. You're on the Medved Show.
Hello, friend. I know you are a man
Ed,
of faith.
Ed, glad to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. I know you're a man of faith. Orthodox Judaism, is that right?
Yeah. I am Jewish. I try to be observant, and I've always, as an adult, gone to Orthodox synagogues.
Observant, that's the word I wanted. Okay, I am a Gentile. I don't believe God particularly cares about America, and in my darkest moments, I'm not sure whether there is a God at all. What would you, as an Orthodox man of faith in the Jewish tradition, tell me to do?
What I would tell you to do is to to find other people. Do you ever talk to other people about faith, or is it just something that's entirely personal to you?
Of course. I don't know if any of my friends are atheists or agnostics.
Have you ever been to a church service or a religious occasion where you just felt that little electric shock, that little spasm of energy, if you will, where you just felt like you were connected with something big?
It's hard for me to ever feel that anywhere, Michael.
It's hard for people generally, but every once in a while, I will tell you, that made a real difference to me when I was much, much, much younger, is a few of those experiences where all of a sudden it's and it's almost a physical feeling where you just feel like you're connected with the master of the universe.
Well, and I could use that. I could use that.
We all can, and we particularly during a pandemic. And let me tell you, it's one of the reasons I miss going to synagogue. I miss the fellowship. And now with people getting vaccinated more, I think we're just coming back to where I went to services myself for the first time last week, and for the first time since the pandemic, and part of what can I ask you this, Ed? Were your parents believers?
Atheist and materialist and devout.
Devout atheists and materialists?
And by the way, Michael, to this day, science rejects supernatural explanations. Does it not?
No, because it's a different question. In other words, it's not that science gives different answers, it's that science addresses different questions.
Okay.
In other words,
okay.
The idea that it sounds like you would prefer to be religious.
You're right.
So why?
Well, I seem to lack faith, although I might have a measure.
You might have a measure?
Yeah, I can't honestly say that I believe God exists or cares about me, or I'd be a big liar.
Right. But by the way, one of the things that my own religious understanding gives me is there's a saying in Ethics of the Fathers, which is a volume of the Talmud, which is particularly important to Jewish people. It says, never be sure of yourself until the day of your death. that
which
is one of those things. There's always uncertainty, and people who are very smug and say, well, you know, this is I've got it locked down and everything is solid. You never know what's going to happen to you, or what God or fate or just dumb luck is going to bring to you.
My favorite book in the world is Ecclesiastes.
Well, okay, you're a religious guy then.
Because, I don't know.
Ecclesiastes is pretty bleak. I know it's pretty bleak, but it says, it does say, but the word of God and the wisdom of God goes beyond our moments of human enjoyment. Can I make another suggestion, Ed?
Sure.
And this is, I don't know, maybe this is more personal than it should be, but when I was very sick, when I had my cancer, and I was in the hospital, I became obsessed with a piece of religious music that just spoke to me about the consolation of God. And it's called the Heilige Dankesang in German. It means the Holy Song of Thanksgiving. And it's the second movement of a Beethoven quartet. But even if you know nothing about classical music, those sounds, I think, speak at such a profound spiritual level. It will give you comfort and elevation. And I honestly, I don't believe, I know, it was one of those things during a period for me that was very dark that sustained me. And by the way, the title of it is a Heilige Dankesang. It's a holy song of thanksgiving. And it says, from one who has recovered his health to the Godhead, and an die Gottheit in German. And we'll post information about the Heilige Dankesang on our website, because look, it may have been written 200 years ago, but it still speaks the word. We will be right back on the Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
It's powerful and inspiring.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A camera is being allowed into a South Texas migrant facility on Tuesday. Border Patrol allowing the camera in the Donner facility, where they described how the agents process unaccompanied minor cases. Texas Republican Congressman Mike McCall says the situation on the border is dire.
I've seen this before. It's the saddest thing you can see when you go down to the border, and I'm glad the press finally has access to show the American people what is happening down there when you have children and babies. And the traffickers are winning and the children are losing.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. Colorado Governor Jared Polis says Boulder Police Officer Eric Talley would go out of his way to brighten someone else's day. Polis speaking at the fallen officer's funeral on Tuesday. and you're listening to USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
On the Michael Medved show, you can hear a little bit of Asian flavored music there in the background, and that's because, of course, right now, that's courtesy of Tom Petty. That's because right now there's a great deal of attention in the United States on hate crimes and hatred. Most of it just unreasoning and ugly. I won't say most of it, all of it. Ugly, unreasoning, sickening. There's a case in New York City of a 65-year-old woman who was just assaulted by a stranger. She happened to be Asian, shouting anti-Asian slogans and beating her up, kicking her in the face after she had been knocked down. And look, it's very, very sad. And in that context, there was a remarkable speech. It's just so beautiful. And I wish I could play the whole thing for you. But it was delivered by Judge James C. Ho. He was appointed by President Trump back in 2017 to the Fifth District Court of Appeals, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, down in Louisiana. He's a former Judge Ho, is a former Solicitor General of the state of Texas. He actually replaced Ted Cruz as Solicitor General of Texas. He was born in Taiwan, came to America as a little boy, not speaking English, eating different food from everybody else. But he spoke recently at a House Judiciary Committee hearing run by Ted Lieu on the importance of a diverse federal judiciary. And Ted Lieu, liberal Democrat, was trying to make the case, we need more Asian judges, we need more Asian judges. Here was Judge Ho on race and equal opportunity at the hearing, clip 2A.
...rules to favor anyone. Dr. King had it right. Choose people based on who they are, not what they look like. Equality of opportunity is not something to be passive about. It's something we should be passionate about. We must make sure that everyone has the opportunity to learn and to succeed so that win, lose, or draw, at least you got a chance, no matter who you are. Once everyone has had full and fair opportunity to be considered, you pick on the merits. Both the Constitution and the Civil Rights Act make clear that it is wrong to hire people based on race. That's the law for a wide range of jobs. But it would be especially wrong, I would submit, to select judges based on race. It is true, I am the only Asian American on my court. I'm also the only immigrant on my court. But I would never suggest that a wise Asian would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white judge. That would be antithetical to our legal system and poisonous to civil society. No one should ever assume that I'm more likely to favor Asians or immigrants or anyone else, or that my colleagues are less likely to. Everyone should lose or win based on the law, period. That's why Lady Justice wears a blindfold. That's why judges wear black robes.
Okay, what he was referring there to when he said the idea of a wise Asian would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white judge. There's a speech, famous speech, that was given before she was elevated to the court by Sonia Sotomayor, where she said a wise Latina might well be more suited to adjudicate someone who was themselves Latino. And which is a loathsome idea. It's a loathsome idea. And he continued, and powerfully, clip B, 2B.
And I don't say this because I think race is no longer an issue in our country. I've received racist hate mail and racially disparaging remarks because of positions I've taken in my legal career. I've been treated differently because of the race of the person I'm married to. And I also remember back in high school, my college admissions advisor telling me that my grades, SAT scores, and activities were all strong enough to get me into my top choice of schools if I wasn't Asian. Now, I'm not saying any of this here to complain. Whatever negative experiences I've had, they pale in comparison to the many blessings I've had living in this great country. I was not born an American, but I thank God every day that I will die an American. My point is just that I don't come to my views because I think racism is behind us. Rather, I come to my views precisely because racism is not behind us. Because the last thing we should do is divide people by race. The last thing we should do is to suggest that the racists are right. We don't achieve equality of opportunity by denying it to anyone. We achieve it by securing it for everyone.
Okay, and then a final note from Judge James C. Ho in his remarkable testimony before the House Judiciary Committee. Listen.
So make no mistake, it would be profoundly offensive and un-American to tell the world that you're restricting a judgeship to members of only one race. It's offensive to people of other races, and it's offensive to people of that race, because you're suggesting that the only way they'll get the job is if you rig the rules in their favor. As a judge, I have the profound honor of presiding over a naturalization ceremony every year. I do this to celebrate my own naturalization now 39 years ago. People from all around the world come together in one room for one purpose, to become an American. And it reminds me that what binds our nation is not a common race or religion or philosophical point of view. What unites us is not a common past, but a common hope for the future, a shared love of freedom, and a mutual commitment to the Constitution and to the principle of equality of opportunity.
That was his conclusion. Remarkable, no? Let's go quickly to Seth in Bellevue, Washington. Seth, you're on the MedVet Show.
Michael, thanks for taking my call. I was actually talking about the previous segment regarding what never gets measured. Is there are many people like myself, because I talk to them all the time, who aren't particularly religious, but very much have a reasonably and developing and maturing sense of faith in a God. And that guides a lot of my sort of you know, approach to the world and to other people and so on. So they never measure, hey, how many of you don't actually go to church or don't enjoy going to church? I was myself raised a Sikh, and trust me, it was a really onerous process, and I hated it. But on my own path, I felt like I felt and I found faith totally in the absence of my own religion. So how do I get measured? How do people like us who don't go to church but are never asked?
Would you, if somebody said, do you identify with one religion or another? Do you identify with an organized religion?
I do not. And as a matter of fact, I've made statements to the effect that I'm actually very anti-religion but very pro-God. And it confuses people because, to me, really, there is one most important question. Is there or is there not God? And as I get older and more mature and hopefully more wise, I tend to think that there is, because I just see evidence all around me that there is.
Well, good. I think that's a normal human development, and it's one of the reasons, in addition to just facing the ultimate end, that does bring people to faith. So you don't participate? Do you have a community in which you're actively involved?
No, as a matter of fact, and I think that's part of the issue. I'm an immigrant. My parents are both from India. I grew up in London. I moved to the United States, and I started high school here. I became a naturalized citizen, and I think part of that, when people stay together, whether it's for ethnic, cultural, religious reasons, they then don't assimilate, and that causes its own issues. And one of the things, for example, I get asked all the time is like, well, how do you explain this evil, or how do you expect this deer getting hit in the road?
Stay with me if you can, Seth. Hang on, we will be right back.
Very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Talking about a big new Gallup poll that shows for the first time ever a minority of Americans actually are members of a church or synagogue or mosque or temple. And Seth in Bellevue called in, and he's one of those people who is not a member of any church or of any organized religion, but he believes in God. And he's concerned about churches and church communities, religious communities, because they would impede your Americanization, your assimilation. Do I have that right, Seth?
That's the minor point that I'm making, is that, you know, like the communities, I think this one of the most single things that I would have sought in a religious environment is the answer of my deeply held question: Is there God, yes or no, and help me find the answer to that question. But instead, like, for example, in my situation, we were told about all the things you can't do and don't do this and don't do that, and it just becomes so sort of almost infantilized in terms of, you know, the deeper, meaningful questions sort of get brushed aside, as opposed to, you know, here, come join my group because we're this X, Y, and Z. But instead, the larger questions are unanswered, and to be honest with you, I think a lot of people feel that way because then they go to church or whichever synagogue, and, you know, I've been in various, I've been to a Greek Orthodox wedding, I've been to a synagogue for services, I grew up Sikh, I went to a Catholic high school in freshman year in college, in high school in Chicago. I've seen a lot of different things, and they kind of feel the same. They don't really focus on what really people are yearning in their lives, which is the answer. And what's replaced that instead is, I think, secularism and materialism has sort of morphed into this sort of, and I dare I say it, social justice-ism, whereas, you know, secularism and lack of, and people are trying to find meaning in everything, so what do? They turn to non-God-related things, like, you know, causes and things, and that can only take you so far, and that's what I think has led to so much anxiety and anger and division also, because people, like, I mean, sometimes I sit down and I'm listening to music, and you mentioned Beethoven, and I listened to the Ninth Symphony, and I said, my goodness, God is working through this instrument that is Beethoven for creating this, for the world to share, and it brings you great and deep joy that somebody created that. Now, somebody can say, why does a deer get run over the road and take hours to die? But somebody like me can say, why does a guy get out of his truck and rescue that deer and nurture it back to health? So for every one way, there's another thing that balances that.
Boy, that's beautifully said. And of course you're right about the Ninth Symphony, and as you probably know, the melody of the Ode to Joy, the last movement, the Ode to Joy, is been converted into a fairly popular church hymn, and which is also, and Beethoven was somebody who had his own religious struggles. He was also not a conventionally devout individual by in any sense. Look, I think what you're saying is fundamental, is the basic religious hunger that people feel is, if God exists, what does God want from me? What does God want me to do? How does God want me to be, to live? And
you know, Michael, I think I'm without saying too much, I'm somewhere between the ages of 40 and 60. And, you know, about 2 or 3 years ago, I woke up one day and I just had a smile on my face and I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? I finally came to the answer of what is the purpose of my life. And it was very simple. The purpose of my life is to be the best person, the best version of myself that I can be. And that's a measuring stick for me now. So whenever I fall short of that, I know when I'm doing it. And whenever I aspire and live up to that, it gives me tremendous joy. And that joy gets spread. It gets exponentially spread to the people around me. And vice versa. I mean, it's that simple. It really is.
Does your wife share your non-organized religious outlook?
She does a little less, a little more towards the organized side, because she, you know, was even more so grew up in that, and her dad still wears a turban and so on. But very much shares similarly, you know, sort of. It's, and I say to a lot of my Jewish friends, same way, you know, it's a focus on being the best person that you can be, and let everything else fall into place. And so, yeah, we're partners in that. So we very, and I teach my kids all the time. You know, my kids have never set foot, at least, as, you know, with me, in a Sikh temple. But I would argue they have more faith in God, not because I've brainwashed them or anything like that, but we have deep philosophical conversations. And, you know, I gave an example. One day, an adult who I work with said to me, you know, humans are the only one that differentiate between weeds and flowers. And I turned around immediately and said, well, humans are the only one that water their lawns or, you know, feed flowers. So for every bad, so my kids understand these kinds of examples, you know, of good and bad. And they start, and I asked them one day at Thanksgiving, hey, do you believe in God? And they both looked at me quizzically like, well, of course we do. And yet they've never set foot in an organized religious camp or, you know, religious, at least with me and under my sort of instruction. So I think that I'm doing something right with my kids.
By the way, I think you raise a very, very important point, and it relates back to this Gallup poll, which is of the 20% of Americans now, and it is only 20% who say they have no religious affiliation, the overwhelming majority say they believe in God. It's like one of those funny things in previous polling. They found that 4% of Americans describe themselves as atheist, and of that group, about a third said they prayed every day. So, you know, look, we are a wonderful country. I honestly believe, Seth, and this really goes to your situation and this wonderful conversation that I'm thoroughly enjoying. What's so wonderful about America, and I think one of the reasons that we are the most religious developed nation, as people would say, where people really do largely take religion far more seriously than people do in parts of Europe or even Australia or even Canada, is precisely because we have such a great variety of religious ideas, where people can exchange them, different religious faiths can compete. And I think you were saying earlier something that I very much agreed with, which is that people will throw in political agendas as part of religious services or even religious camps or religious programming, meaning very often we expect you to be an activist on the left. And increasingly, there's also that tendency on the right that somehow you would be identified with one candidate or one president, and that would be a way that you expressed your religious faith. And I think the important thing is to go away from that, because Americans will never, ever agree broad group on politics, which is so individualized and personalized, but I think can agree in a guiding force in the universe that maybe has something to do with this country and its many blessings. You get the last word, my friend. Oh, well, yes, he's gone, and we go to a movie that's not religious, but it certainly is family-oriented. It is called Yes Day with Jennifer Garner. Listen.
Now it's time for MedBed's Entertainment Minute.
Two hardworking suburban parents, played by Jennifer Garner and Edgar Ramirez, decide to upgrade relations with their three rambunctious kids by designating a special day where they will say yes to every request. It's called Inevitably Yes Day, now streaming on Netflix.
We used to say yes to everything. We can be fun again. Really.
Let's do this!
And what they do is mostly goofy, riding roller coasters, going through a car wash with the windows down, and staging a mock war with balloons filled with Kool-Aid. About halfway through, the movie turns scary, with some involvement of hospitals, ambulances, and the police. Still, it's likable entertainment, with both parents and children who are inescapably endearing, aimed squarely at families with a PG rating. 2.5 stars for the appealing, if insubstantial, Yes Day, to which you may want to say yes.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
And on the Michael Medved show, one of the things about Yes Day is that you actually end up liking the people, both the kids who are not spoiled brats and the parents who are extremely well-meaning, if imperfect. Coming up next time, we will continue the talk about anti-Asian bigotry and hate crimes and what to do about it. We'll also talk about Yay for Capitalism, a so-called conservative university pays a communist $200 a minute to talk, and cultural anxieties, not economic woes, drove the Trump train. That's a conclusion we'll discuss in this great...
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.